ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Romans, and we're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. The Bible says he's writing to those that are in Rome. They're beloved of God. They're called saints. He says, grace to you and peace. Now, that word grace is interesting because that word has the idea for us of being something that is imputed. It's an imparted thing. Look at verse 5 again. By whom we have received grace and apostleship and a sent one status. He says, by whom we have received grace. And he says, so you, I'm writing to, grace unto you. I wish grace to you. Now, the funny thing is if I wish to you that you would have grace and you've already got it, then what I'm really asking is that you would see it, and that you would receive it. You know, you can stir up the grace of God in you. He tells Timothy, stir up the gift of God. And he talks about be strong in the grace. You can take that and you can give strength to it, or you can take it and you can kind of diminish it and discount it. And frankly, folks, many Christians don't even know that they already are sanctified. They don't know that they're already seated with Christ. They don't know that Jesus has imputed to them all the righteousness that is his own on their account, so they'll never be in debt again. They just don't know it. And that is not their fault, except after a while it's their fault because they haven't applied themselves to learn from their first knowledge of Jesus. So when you kind of think of the idea of all of these things that what he's done for us, you get a sense that what Jesus did was so powerful that he literally can just lavish upon us an identity that we would never conjure on our own. Someone has well said that the Bible is not a book man would have written if he could have. He wouldn't make everybody a saint. Religions are all about subjecting people. It's becoming Nicolaitans, as the book of Revelation talks about. Let's conquer the people. Let's give them an opiate. They talked about religion being an opiate of society. So societies many times try to commandeer the religious individuals that are over them. This is why Romanism had such a powerful purchase. But then you get the Church of England to give up king license to divorce and marry and all the things he did. All of these things were about sedating the masses. And what we have is that is what man does. Man subjugates individuals. But what God does is he sanctifies individuals. He had to, because if he didn't do it all, we would get lost again. I mean, you'd be in the woods all over again. Because that's the nature of man. We're all broken. We have sin in our members. Paul himself said, that I want to do. He says it in chapter 7 of this book. He says, that I want to do, I don't do. And that I don't want to do, that I do. Who's going to deliver me? Listen, that whole concept that he's having that war, that's after salvation. And people say, well, I believe in holiness doctrine. I believe I will get to a place of sinless perfection. Well, good luck with that. Because once you get there, you think you're there, you just don't stub your toe, don't move, wrap yourself up in a mummy thing and stay in the closet. And even then, your mind will be saying these stupid things that are holding me down. There's no light in here. Whatever it is, the sin nature is there. You cannot go as a hermit to a far off hillside and live in a cave and not take you with you. Okay. We needed a Savior who understood us, and he did. And the Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We're not just made the righteousness of God. Look how great I am. No, we're made the righteousness of God only by one factor. In him. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Do you know what that is? That's come boldly to the throne. That's fellowship, that's access, that means he's taking care of everything. What an amazing Savior. Now, this is good news, folks. This is good news. This is the plumb line. And people think, well, I know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Because if you know Jesus, it's going to change your trajectory. It's going to impact your heart toward obedience. It's going to save you from dead works to serve the living God. The Bible says we have received grace in verse 5 for obedience. And then in verse 7 again, he says, you're beloved, you're called saints. He says, grace to you. And when you get that grace thing down, you'll have peace. Grace comes from fellowship with God, from obedience to God. It's stirred up when we're cooperating with God. It's diminished when we can't recognize it because we can only see ourselves. When I talk to you about no condemnation, and that's taken right from chapter 8, verse 1 in this book. If you want to look at it, you can go look at it. It's still in there. Still in there. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay. It says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You say, there it is. Well, if I walk after the flesh, what happens? Well, what happens then is the devil will condemn you. If you walk after the flesh, you will condemn yourself because you know you're doing the wrong thing. You're going against God. So you're diminishing that free flow of grace. So you can condemn yourself, but in Christ, God will not condemn you because you're His child. You know, when the Bible talks about somebody getting so far in their Christian experience away from the Lord and they're in gross sin and the church has to excommunicate them, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says that Paul was advising the Corinthians to separate a man unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the soul might be saved. So all God does is He pulls His hand back and He lets the devil get what he wants. And the devil wants you. Now, God's got a long suffering going on down here, right? How many of us should have been in a terrible state because of our behavior? A terrible accident, a terrible whatever, this, that, and the other. And some people get in a terrible accident, they didn't do anything wrong. And they start thinking, did I do something wrong? No, the reality is you need to know your Bible. Because the Bible is forever settled. And so when you understand these things, you can go even through the deep waters of suffering and even crippling circumstances. My point is this, God has promised that whoever's in Christ, there's no condemnation. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Things present nor things to come, I will in no way cast out. He will never, ever give up on us. Guys, listen, this is awesome stuff, right? This is the good stuff. Ironside said, boy, I get a lot of people for hear about Antichrist, but I want to hear about Jesus Christ, you know? No, man, forget about Antichrist. If you know Jesus Christ, Antichrist is not a problem. You won't be in the dark that His coming would overtake you. The Bible says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. I'm just so thankful you're all saved. Now, remember, the word all is including Jews and Gentiles. Probably nobody had to overcome the ick factor of Jews and Gentiles relationships as much as Paul did. And here's Paul being sent to the Gentiles. Think about that. You got the rabbi who's a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he is sent as a lettered man to people who need children's church. Okay? And what he does is he gets right down to the gospel and he stays there. That's a beautiful thing. And it helped Paul realize how important and how central the gospel was. It was the horizon. It was that thing that was completely off on the sidebar that you could look at and you would be able to discern where people were. Now, I did tell you that it says of that horizon in verse 1, but it also says in that same vernacular that it is Jesus who was declared, and that word, He was declared by power in verse 4. I didn't tell you this, but that word is horizo. It is horizon. God gave us this horizo. That's what the gospel is. It is the horizo as is declared in verse 4. Back down to verse 8, He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, for you all. Now, you may need to thank God through Jesus Christ for somebody you're having a hard time with. You know, it's a struggle in the Christian faith today, many times for believers to know how to get along because there are so many denominational uniquenesses. We have to figure out where the nut of things is, and it's the gospel, folks. That's the nut, right there. That's the heart of everything. That's the thing. Now, when people start equivocating with the gospel, now you've got a problem, right? Whenever you move away from the centrality of Jesus and Jesus crucified, risen, you know, all of those things that we know about Jesus, bearing our sins, completing our salvation. When you get the idea of the gospel and you drill into it, you see Jesus on the cross saying, it is finished. Tetelestai. Greek word, tetelestai, one word. It is finished. It meant paid in full. It's paid in full. That's the gospel. And Jesus paid it all. Paul says to the Galatians who were told, you know, you need to keep the law to be saved. In fact, you guys all need to, you all, you Gentiles need to be circumcised with the circumcision of the Jewish people, that kind of thing. And he says, if you're circumcised, Christ profits you nothing. He says, if you try to add anything to this, you are accursed. If any man brings anything, chapter 1 of Galatians, if anybody brings any other gospel than that which we have brought to you, let him be devoted to destruction. Just back off and let him implode. Folks, listen, the gospel is not negotiable. And that's why when I say that, every one of us in this room ought to be saying, do I really have the gospel in my mind? Because you can have a form of the gospel. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says, listen, I'm afraid of you. If somebody brings another spirit, another gospel, another Jesus, you would put up with it. We can't put up with it. Because we can't help somebody be saved if we don't conclude they're unsaved. And the way you conclude that is whether they're living in keeping with the Scriptures and their understanding of the Scriptures are clear. So you ask them more questions if there's a question. And when you find the nut of it, you will know whether they're born again or not. The Bible says in verse 8, I thank God for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Remember who he's writing to? Rome. That was the epicenter of the ancient world. He says, you guys have enough of a testimony that everybody's talking about it. Can I just say that ought to be true of us, right? People ought to know we're saved and they ought to be talking about it. He's a Christian. She's a believer. These people are church folks. Sometimes I'll ask people as an opening after I've talked to them for a while and I haven't had any other thing to go on. I'll say, are you a church man? You know what they know about me right away? He's a church man. He must be because he's asking me if I am one. Jesus didn't leave us here to just have a nice time. Pink Floyd wrote a song called Sheep on their Animals album. You know, they would say about us, they say, harmlessly passing your time in the grassland away. That's what they say about Christians. You're just harmlessly passing your time in the grassland away, only dimly aware of a certain unease in the air. Listen to this. You better watch out. There may be dogs about. I've looked over Jordan and I've seen things aren't what they... What are they talking about Jordan in a Pink Floyd rock song? Getting him over to the Middle East. Guys, listen. This world is filled with demons and they know what the story is. I would encourage you to go look up the words to that song, not the song itself because you can't hear it. There's a synthesized vowel prayer in Sheep. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I promise I won't want him. They take a vow in that song that they will never want your Savior. They're talking about Jesus way back in the rock world and they were besmirching him. Sympathy for the devil. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name. You know, all of these things, they know what they're doing. And you and I need to have our game face on in a day like today. We need to know what the gospel is and love and live it. The Bible says your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness whom I serve with my spirit. That's a statement right there, isn't it? Can you just drill there for a minute? I serve him with my spirit. You can talk about enthusiasms. But this is with his spirit. Do you know you really can't serve God with the spirit if you don't know his word? The Bible says, be filled with the spirit, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. And all of those, you know, submitting and giving thanks and all the things that it says in Ephesians chapter 5. But over in Colossians chapter 3, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You can't be any more filled with the Spirit and cooperating with the Spirit than you are filled with an intimate knowledge of the Word of God. Now listen, check me on this. They're completely connected. Your ability to serve God from the Spirit has to do with your ability to understand the Word of God. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.